We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combine to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
A happy divisional week to you and your loved ones. To all who celebrate, gentlemen.
Yes.
We've made it to the second round of the National Football League playoff.
What a first round it was. My God. Awesome.
You know, usually Super Wild Card weekend, I'm kind of like, eh, you know, like the seventh seed's going to get blown out by the second seed. And here it goes. But the teams that got blown out were not like the expected blowouts. Very much a reverse role, and it's set up for what's going to be a juicy divisional round.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's funny because, like, the Browns, if you would have said 2 months ago, hey, the Browns are going to get smoked in the playoffs, like, they're going to have Joe Flacco off his couch and they're going to get smoked. Yeah. But you would have been like, yeah, that probably sounds right. But the way the Browns were playing going into the playoffs and being favored, I think, by a couple points in that game too, and Cowboys. I mean, how many times collectively you guys have done enough divisional round damage in your
don't Searles, don't even come out
Cowboys?
Of here. No,
I mean, I would like a full public apology from you two.
First of all,
I mean,
you would. I would, from Dak and Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones, for that bullshit that they put out there.
You laughed at me.
No, you laughed at you.
Packers? What an idiot. Who would pick the Packers?
I think the whole world was thinking that, Searles. That's why when it happened, everybody broke their TVs across their fucking knees. They were like, no, this can't be the Cowboys that I'm watching right now. He didn't just throw that into that Buzz 3 coverage. That guy just fucking walked right into it. There's no way Dak Prescott would do that. No, dude, it's cool. Don't worry about it. It's
Cowboys.
Yeah, by the way, betting on them again. Myself, it says people who haven't watched the Cowboys in a playoff game since 1995.
I think we all just thought we were past it.
No.
They're not.
I'll be a man. Jay, I doubted you. I doubted the Packers.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
You apologize to me. You laughed at me.
You apologize to me. No, I won't. That's how this works. See, everybody's mad because they're like, no, Cowboys should have won, but Dak just went out there and did Dak fucking things again, and so did the Cowboys.
You can't even say, dude, you can't even put it all on Dak, though.
I'm not going to put it all on Dak. I'm going to put it all on the Cowboys. I just said the Cowboys did Cowboy things, didn't I? Okay. I just making sure I said it. Okay.
Gosh, you're aggressive in the mornings. You just get
I'm not aggressive.
Angry.
You're over here like, apologize.
I'm not aggressive. You're
I'm
aggressive.
I'm not going to apologize for betting on a team that I thought should have won and then came out and laid a massive goose egg. Wait a minute. They were at home, too. Okay. Just making sure.
They're supposed to be really good at home. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they're supposed to be really good this year. They're not.
Hey, if you're one of the four teams that put a request in before that game to interview Dan Quinn, are you like that Family Guy episode where they're all like kind of sliding out of the booth slowly?
Yeah. The Homer Simpson into the bush. Hey. Just
Seattle was like, you know, Dan, you just stay. Just stay for a year. One more.
I mean, he hops on a Zoom call today. Ready? Here we go. Ready to talk to the Seahawks, my old friends. Anybody? Is nobody else joining this Zoom call?
It just spins there where it's like, the host has not started the meeting. Yeah. We'll let you know when the host is here.
I wonder what happened there.
Just sitting there like, God, I thought that 11 o'clock meeting started at 11 o'clock.
Are we on? What time zone are we on? Is this Central Time?
Are we live? Are we live now? We were live?
Well, okay, since we're on the subject of the Cowboys here, let me hit you guys. We start every show off here. By the way, O-line committee, Jeremiah Searles, Alex Boone, two former NFL offensive linemen. I'm an eighth grade football superstar B team. That's right, Buffalo High School. What up?
Buffalo?
Yeah, ding.
You went to Buffalo?
Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, New York. I know. Aren't they the Sabres?
Jay and I both played for Buffalo, yeah. He played for the Buffalo Bills. I played for the Buffalo High School, middle thing. School B-team football team.
Yeah. Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Tomatoes, same thing.
You're familiar with the house that Mackie built.
Yeah, like. I drove by Buffalo like a month ago, and I was like, there's a Buffalo, Minnesota.
You're damn right there is. That's right. Dude,
everyone's like, their football program, bro.
It's the Buffalo Bison, which is Bison, like the same thing, right? Yeah. I mean, isn't that the
they're
same
They're not the
animal?
Bills. They're the Bison. Yeah, I think it looks similar, identical to the Bill. Yeah.
Probably have a very similar helmet logo.
They do. It's like a kind of a ferocious, it's a ferocious looking bison. Yeah.
Wild
it's
beast. Purple. It's a wild beast.
So, but we start every show with who's the Mike. We identify the most important things on our mind around football. Let's talk about Dak Prescott. I would like to officially create a new wing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton this morning so we can induct Dak Prescott. Let's call it the Marino wing, and let's celebrate quarterbacks who are good enough to keep your franchise relevant and competitive, but not good enough to get over the hump in the playoffs. Founding members, Dan Marino, Fran Tarkenton, Dan Fouts with the San Diego Chargers for a decade, 70s, 80s, right?
Jim Kelly's got to be in there, right?
Jim Kelly's for sure in there.
Here's how I'm laying it out.
I mean, he's what do you call the hump? The hump is winning it all. Like,
yeah, come on,
Jim Kelly's got to be at least a second ballot. A second ballot guy. He may not be a first ballot guy. He's a second ballot guy.
No, I've got – it's a cabinet. It's we have, like, leadership positions within this wing. So we've got our founding members, who I just mentioned. We've got the chief financial officers who know the most about racking up $40, $50 million paychecks without delivering in the playoffs. That would be Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins, I think, are the CFOs. Yeah. And then to your point, Jay, I think we have a couple executive assistants. We've got Jim Kelly, executive assistant to the NFC. And then we've got Randall Cunningham, executive assistant to the Atlanta Falcons, 1998. I think your guy, Philip Rivers, Tony Romo, probably have to be a part of the Marino wing of the Hall of Fame.
Philip, for sure.
Phil's up there, unfortunately.
Phil, for sure.
Unfortunately, Phil's up there. Jimmy Garoppolo could be an honorable mention.
He could be in the mix. We could find him a cabinet position.
He's an honorable. What, Boone? What did he do in the playoffs that made him earn all his money?
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, you're talking about dudes that played a long – there were starters for a long time and didn't do anything, not 5 years and didn't do anything.
But he got there and he got paid. That was Mackey's point.
That's fine. I'm just saying, time over tension, dude. Time over tension. That's like throwing in a ton of 3 years.
The assistant director of Shanahan operations is what
he's assistant player personnel director or something like that. I don't know. There's titles.
He's assistant to logistics. Let's talk about that. We'll throw him in a real small role.
He's the guy that picks you up from the airport and buses you back and forth.
That's exactly what he does.
He's the one that asks you aisle or window when you get cut.
There you go. How about the chief blown lead officers, Matt Ryan and Warren Moon? 28-3 loss to the Patriots. Ryan, and then sure, Warren Moon was the quarterback for the Oilers when they were up 35-3 to Jeremiah's Buffalo Bills and Frank Reich brought him back. I think those guys have to be in for sure. That's where Dak Prescott belongs at this point to me. He's gonna be 30 years old. There's a certain category of quarterback where boy, if you have him, you're probably gonna win 9 games or maybe even like 12 or 13 games. You might win your division. But you're not winning
the
Super Bowl.
It's all going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Their contract makes the roster have different holes, and they aren't able to make up for the roster having those holes. So that's what this wing is.
If the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills this weekend, does Josh Allen start knocking on that door?
Yes, he does. He becomes a very big candidate. Yes, he does. For sure.
Starts looking around like, hey guys, are we all in here?
Do we have to have an age limit though? Because he's only 27. Like, do you have to be at least 29 or 30 before put you in?
I think that's fair.
He's knocking on the door.
He's just knocking on the door, right? He's just like,
anyone in here?
Someone said to come down the hall and turn left and I'd find my people. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Like, he's I mean, if he loses to Mahomes again, I mean, I'll pivot here. I'll go. My mic is the Buffalo Bills. Ooh. Like, my mic is the Buffalo Bills. I think watching them play this weekend, the way they came out and the way they just immediately jumped all over that team, we all knew that was possible. We're like, this is, I thought it was going to be a blowout. I was ready to turn it off, move on to the next game. And then that field goal block and that poor punter blows a hammy, right? He looked like the 30-year-old at the Y that was trying to do too much, right? Like, the trying to be like, back in my day, I played it. Right? But they look primed to make a run. It's the injuries on defense that really concern me, that Mahomes and Kelce are going to pick them apart. They lost another middle linebacker, right? Another linebacker out of the mix. But when Josh plays like that, I don't know who beats him. When he doesn't make the bad mistake, when he's running with his legs for 52 yards. And anyone that wants to tell me that was a fake slide, go pound sand. That wasn't a fake slide. Not a chance. If you've ever tried to run, I think people will get, like, they look at football players and they see the great athletes that are the receivers and the running backs that can run 100 miles an hour full speed and cut on a dime and move any direction that they want. That when you see lumbering 250-pound Josh Allen, when he wants to slow down and decel, he has to go air brakes as he's coming into the turn and then make the cut. And all these people are freaking out on Twitter, like, he fake slid. Look at him. Oh, he's making up the rules. Like, you try and slow down running that fast. It was just a really slow jump cut by a white guy. You leave that man alone. But I think the Bills primed to make a run. They're 6-0 since all of the hoopla, we'll leave it at that, started in the galvanization of
the article,
that team.
The article. The article came out.
The article came out. The we got your back coach moment. Like, since then, the galvanization of that team has been incredible, to be honest. Like, I didn't anticipate this coming. And if they can find a way to win this weekend, and if there's ever a time for Josh Allen to beat Patrick Mahomes, it's now. Because this was the year, but man, Kansas City seems to find a way to put it together every single year, and that's what happens. We have the best in the business in quarterback.
Yeah, but to be fair, like, it's going to be a great game, dude. And the fact that it's in Buffalo is so much better. Because, like, don't get me wrong, I love Kansas City.
First road playoff game, too.
That's what's going to make it even more better. And not only that, like, I love, don't get me wrong, Kansas City is a fun place to play. But talk about this game in Buffalo. Like, Josh, this is it. You got to go out and do it right now. And let's be honest, dude. KC's kind of on its last leg a little bit. Like, that Miami game, I know they look good. But Rashee Rice looks great. Defense is playing great. The run game is still there. Travis Kelce. That's it. There's, like, three of them on offense still going. And after that, you're like, this defense is playing lights out. And to be fair, Miami came up in a negative 20-degree weather. Like, we all knew they stood zero fucking chance. I guarantee you Mike McDaniels was like, yo, let's just make it a game. Because you cannot equate what it's like to live in a hot weather state and come to a cold. I know. We used to be like, hey, there's no preparing for this. Hey, is there any way to make it cold out here? They'd look at you like, are you fucking stupid? Like, can we just go rent a dome and turn on the AC? Like, are you fucking stupid? No. Okay, cool.
Did you guys see the video?
You can't compare for that.
Tyreek Hill puts out, someone put
the highlight. By
the way. He got his ass jammed, like.
Jammed back to Cancun, the turf, maybe. Right?
And he tweets out, he goes, dude, jam my ass to Cancun.
Dude, Ladarius Sneed fucking straight up was like, you remember me, dude, in these one-on-ones we used to do in practice? I'm fucking back. Dude, I love the way these games are going. Be big boy the shit out of him. But I agree with you 100%. I think if Buffalo has a chance to do it, it's in Buffalo this year. I mean, the elements aren't going to affect anyone. It's going to come out and be a who can stop whose offense faster. Because you're right. If you can get Josh Allen going, the fucking game is over. Because the dude's running 55 yards down the middle of the field. And I agree with you. That was not a slide. We've seen guys slide. They're going to make it very definitive. They know the rules and they know you can't jack around anymore. Because, like, there was a time when Blaine Gabbert fake slid in Chicago for 82 yards. 82. They were like, Blaine, I don't know how you did it. He was like, clearly I fake slid at the 50 and everybody stopped. And then I took off. I remember watching it and I was like, oh, he's going to get killed for that. Like, they're going to be so pissed. And the defense was lit. Like, we're fucking kidding me, son. He's going to sign. Dude, this game is going to be electric. And the fan base, they might light every table on fire. It's going to be so fun to watch. But I have to say this. Kansas City's defense right now looks amazing.
Yeah, like, Spags has got them playing out of their minds.
Spags has got them playing lights out. It's going to be electric. Cannot wait. Is,
on you, like, the article from 6 or 7 weeks ago, it's incredible because the way they were going, they were like the 11 seed when that thing came out. It was, and it kind of felt like, it felt like at the time, boy, this kind of feels like the end of the McDermott era, where even before the article came out, the team felt like it peaked a season or two ago, right? And it could have been a really easy just fork in the road for the people in the locker room and for everyone in the organization to say, you know what? Yeah, this is probably we're just going to kind of wind this thing down. We'll refresh it in the off season. And for everyone to do the opposite and to just lean into, I mean, I heard this comparison. I think it was Cowherd and Nick Wright were talking about this a couple days ago on the radio. It reminds you of the Tom Coughlin situation from like 15 or 20 years ago in New York, where hard ass coach, players complaining about him behind the scenes. I'm not sure if he delivered a speech like McDermott delivered that triggered this article.
No way he did.
But like, there was a come to Jesus meeting, or like something happens, right? In this case, an article comes out. In that case, a come to Jesus meeting happens with the ownership and the Michael Strahans, and everyone just sort of rallies around this coach that looked like he was maybe on his last legs, and boom, for the Giants, Super Bowl the next year, right? And maybe that's where this leads for the Bills. Does this vault them into winning their first Super Bowl in franchise history? I mean,
whoever, I can't remember the reporter that sat on that article and waited for the perfect time to release it, but talk about just a massive backfire, right? Like he like we talked, that was my, it was Ty a Dunn. Hit job. Yeah, Ty Dunn hit job, right? I'm going to wait till McDermott's at his most vulnerable, and then I'm just going to drop it at his feet. And it just totally flipped on him. Totally flipped, got the, we got your back, coach, right? The whole thing. And I'm just ready for if they do win the Super Bowl, I'm just waiting for this chapter of the book. Like, who's going to write, like, and the turning point of the season was, we got your back, coach. And then have to go into, like, how that all happened, because you can't not talk about it. If the Bills make a run, you have to talk about what happened internally in that locker room. And as much as we don't condone what was said, hats off to the leadership on those teams, the players on those teams, keeping everyone together, and Bean and McDermott finding a way to rally the troops there. Really, I want Buffalo in the AFC Championship. I don't know if they get there, but he better beat Mahomes. But I just worry. I worry Allen is going to press the ball down the field too much and try and do the, I have to beat Mahomes, I have to outplay Mahomes, and they kind of get into that outplay each other, and they get into that mode. I usually give the nod to Mahomes because Allen's the bad interceptions, forcing it where he's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But this is the matchup of our generation, right? This is the
It's the Brady Manning.
This is the Brady Manning.
Sure. This is the new Brady
Manning. Josh Allen is the Manning, where he kept banging his head on the wall every time, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, I think the first time they finally broke through, they had the home field in Indianapolis.
It was finally in Indy. Yeah. They didn't have to go to New England. So that's why it's got to be now. It's got to be this year.
What if it's not? What if, I know Buffalo Bills fans who are listening to this,
hear mouth
for a second. What if they get smoked or something? What if it's
it still goes next year?
Is there any chance they would make a... Harbaugh's out there. Belichick's out there. Is there anything?
No, I don't think you can make a change now. Lost last week, that's way more of in flux and question.
But to lose to KC,
it to the divisional, you lose to the best in the world at quarterback. And as long as it's a game, like if it's a total blowout, there'll be some rumblings. But as long as it's a game, you can't fire that guy.
No.
Stephon Diggs might have something to say about whether he wants to still be there. It kind of feels like if they don't keep winning, that this might be finally for like the third straight offseason, he's been kind of on the fence.
I think the media is making more of that than it really is. I don't really see much of a problem there. Honestly, I hear them talking about it all the time, and Diggs is just a quiet dude and he's very competitive and people get upset. And I watch the games and I hear people like, oh, the chemistry here is not right. And it's like, fucking quarterback threw it a little bit high. Shut up. He's fucking, so you think he's going to make a perfect pass every time? No, but like literally, like the Diggs thing, like he probably is really competitive and really upset, but there's guys on like that on every single team. Mm-hmm. And there's guys that are fucking worse than Diggs. I can tell you right now. Like, if anything, Diggs's problem is sometimes you're like, hey, buddy, calm down. Okay, we got it. We know we're upset too. You got to stop yelling. But for the most part, when it comes to like Josh McDermott, to be able to control everything that's been going on with this team and the injuries that they felt on that they lost on defense, there's no way they're going to fire him. Like, yeah, there was a mess. This season was probably the year he was going to get canned. They fired the OC. This thing came out from whoever this guy is that wrote all this stuff. Like, this was like, ah, you're dead to rights, dude. The minute he put them in the playoffs, they were like, no, he's here. This is our guy. This is what we're going to roll with moving forward. Josh is our guy. Diggsy will chill out, and the defense will get healthy. Like, this is fine. And we're starting to develop a run game. You're going to fire the guy after you started to develop a little bit of a run game? Like, this is where you start moving on, and you're like, hey, we need to take massive blocks. But I agree. If they don't win this week in Buffalo, it's going to be like, dude, when are you going to fucking win it? If you can't do it at your own stadium, like, we get going on the road is really tough in the playoffs. But if you can't win in your own home stadium, yeah. Starting to get upset. I agree. Knock, knock on that wing.
Jay?
No, that was my mic.
That was my mic.
Buffalo Bills. It's time for Boone. It's time for Alex.
Okay. This is probably why I was so excited this morning. I felt a little Sirianni-ish. Okay? I just felt like clapping back for no fucking apparent reason. Just probably because I'm from Philly, and that's what I do. Like, I just talk a whole bunch of shit for no fucking reason. And then I go out there and get smoked by Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. And everybody literally talking about like, oh, Baker Mayfield's back. It's the best he's ever played. Back. He's back. 5 years ago, I was like, fuck, this can't him. Now he's coming out in the playoffs and beating the number one team in the NFL. A team that looked at one point was 10-1. I want to know what was said to fracture this team. Mm-hmm. I want to know so badly what caused them to go 1-7 at the end of the year. Something happened inside that building that everybody looked around and was like, I'm done. I'm not doing this no more. You don't go 10-1 and then finish 1-7. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not an idiot. I know how this goes.
So you guys, out there, you can sense that something just,
oh,
they were 10-1, but it wasn't like last year's where they were beating everyone by 20. Every win was close. I might say, just from like, I've never been in an NFL locker room as a player, boy, they were kind of like walking a thin line even without something happening in the locker room, and it was just bound to flip the other way. But it sounds like you sense something had to have, like,
something
the body language and everything.
Did you see the tackling in that game? Did you see the
piss? No, because it
there was none. Exactly. That's exactly what the problem. Like, at some point, this team looked so much better. 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That you put on the film and you were like, wow. Wow. And every
dude, their push got stuffed in that.
That's
game.
Another thing.
Vita Vea, dude.
Vita Vea's
big giant ass was sitting there like, oh, you
watched it.
Yep. You thought
we saw the replay. And 96 is just laying on the ground like, somebody move me. Vita Vea's like on top of him. It's like, dude, everything was starting to just slip so fast, and then it just the chemistry on the team and everybody just seemed like they weren't buying in anymore. Something happened with that team, and I want to know what it was. Like,
I mean,
I
even
know
on the sideline, you saw Dallas Goedert, like, very heated exchange with Jalen Hurts, right? That's there. AJ Brown has been unhappy the last few weeks, and I think Kelsey did his best to try and keep the team together, but I agree with Boone. There was a moment after the San Fran game that fracture that could not heal. Like, if it was something that a couple weeks, get everything back together, we all sat together, we sang Kumbaya, I love you, you love me, let's go win a Super Bowl.
It's true.
None
it's
of that.
Goes. Yeah.
None of that. There was a fracture, hard line in the sand. Coach said something that players didn't like, player to player. There was something that happened, and I don't know if we'll ever know. Like, sometimes those things don't get out, or it might be 5 years from now that comes out, like with the Buffalo Bills thing. But something happened. That's not just age caught up with them, or, you know, this. Like, you don't just fall apart like that when your roster's that talented. But, I mean, we can't mention the Eagles without tipping our hat to one of the best to ever do it, Jason Kelsey's last game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
right? Jason Kelce's last game, first ballot Hall of Famer. I saw an awful take on Twitter that someone's like, is he really a first ballot Hall of Famer? Are we just giving him a bunch of attention because his brother and he has a podcast? I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard.
I hope like, you didn't read that.
This dude was like terrible. A six-team All-Pro. Like, he is truly one of the best. And the most impressive stat, and Boone, you can speak to this, dude never missed a start.
Oh, it's huge.
Never that missed position, man. A start at that position. That is incredible. And hats off to that dude. Was great to watch him. The league's going to miss him, right? The league's going to miss him. He's involved. And big shoes to fill, whoever steps into that center position next year.
Do you guys, you guys have both played in the NFL and then gotten into the media world as former offensive linemen and like Jay is an agent now. I feel like in a lot of ways, like there's Tony Siragusa was kind of an offensive lineman that broke through 20 years ago and became a household name. Oh, he was a defensive lineman. So I'm trying to think of offensive lineman.
Jeff Saturday.
Kind of. So like, but
he's more of a head. He's more of a head coach. Say,
he's a head coach kind of guy. I wouldn't put him in the media.
But there's not that many offensive linemen in NFL history that broke through, became household names, mainstream figures, like Andrew Whitworth. Kelce did, right?
Andrew Whitworth on Thursday Night Football. He's done a really nice job as of late. Right, yeah. Like he's a guy that as of late, I'm trying to think.
I think Jason Kelce's Q score, though, in terms of like how many people know who he is a lot higher than Andrew Whitworth's, even though Whitworth's.
Does the Q score go to like how many women know you? Because guys, it's easy. Yeah. A lot of guys are going to know. Is it like how many wives and moms know who you are?
Okay. A lot more now than a year ago.
Well, I mean, he went viral after the Super Bowl, right? When he was wearing that crazy outfit and he was hammered. He was like,
it's our fucking city. Yeah.
Right?
Such a Philly thing. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, but like it's just back to the original point too about the Eagles. This might have been the fastest collapse of a Super Bowl contender. I mean, think about they were 10-1. People had them. I think a lot of people, I was kind of poking holes. Like, God, at some point, you got to have a scoring margin. So there are still some people that put maybe the 49ers and the Ravens above the Eagles. But mm-hmm. They were legitimately in, like, the four teams that could win the Super Bowl.
They were top five team, yeah.
For sure. 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago. And now, 6 weeks later, the heartbeat of their team, Jason Kelce, retiring. A lot of questions about Jalen Hurts. And maybe there's some health issues there, too. But a lot of questions about what kind of a quarterback is he going forward? And then by the time this episode's out, Nick Sirianni may or may not be fired for all we know. Like to go from, they could win the Super Bowl to 6 weeks later, are they like sort of resetting the organization going into 2024?
I mean, there's a lot of age on that defense that might walk away with Kelce too. Brandon Graham,
for sure.
Fletcher Cox. Oof. Like there's some dudes that you're like, man, you've been doing this a long time. And I feel like Kelce kind of rallied everyone when he came back, like one more ride, boys, one more ride. We got this. Let's all go in this together. But there's a lot of dudes on that team that I think are going to be seriously questioning their future in the NFL of do we come back or not? And that's kind of the worst case scenario for Philly. Once you start realizing I'm looking at this quarterback going, that cap number is going to start hitting here pretty soon. That big, giant payday that I just paid you, and I have a bunch of veterans leaving.
That's how you make your way into the Marino wing, of the Pro Football Hall of Fame there.
But he got him to the Super Bowl. He hasn't won one yet, right? No. That was still Big Dick Nick. Like, he hasn't quite gotten there.
But that was Carson Wentz was the starting quarterback.
That's right.
For the first 13 weeks, was like playing at an MVP level, got hurt, and then Big Dick Nick came in.
Big Dick Nick came in. Isn't it crazy to think that guy won a Super Bowl and Josh Allen hasn't? Dan Marino hasn't. Like, it's fucking insane, dude. You're kidding me. Like a household looking dude, and all of a sudden you're like, Dan Marino doesn't. He's not even allowed it. Oh, fucking crazy.
Yeah. It is actually kind of funny when you start to put together, and I may or may not have done this to prove another point about Kirk Cousins on Purple Daily this week. When you put together the list of like quarterbacks who've won playoff games, it is Trent Dilfer has 5 playoff wins because he had four the year that like the Ravens had the greatest defense in NFL history.
Just gonna
allowed
say their defense
13 points in the playoffs in 4 games or whatever it was or 20.
Could
points.
You imagine that? Just score 14 points and we're gonna win a Super Bowl. Yeah, I would
don't trip over the center shoelaces and we should
that
be able team, to win
that defense.
Game.
That was 2002, right? That defense was
2000.
2000. That defense was stacked, stupid. Dude. Stupid stacked. Oh my! I know because I played half of them. fucking crazy.
I have another mic for you guys. All right.
It's so do kind I. Of a, let's hear yours.
A, let's keep going here. We can let's explore the space.
Why stop? It's playoffs. Let's just here. Go. Let's just start lots of fights today. Let's go.
So I've got two mics for you, and we will do film breakdowns of both these guys on the YouTube channel, O-Line Committee YouTube channel. Click that like button and the subscribe button. And this might be a good time too to shout out the olinecommittee.com website. That's olinecommittee.com for your official offensive line lifestyle merchandise, your clean pocket club shirts and hoodies, your pancakes shirts and hoodies. What else do you guys want to see in the merch store? What else would you rep as we look to grow this thing? Let us know. Hit us up in the YouTube comment section. But I've got two mics in one for you here. CJ Stroud and Jordan Love. Two first-year starting quarterbacks. And I'm gonna mold this into a hot take ranking, if you will. I have a top 15 quarterbacks list in the NFL that I'd love to run by you guys.
Oh, all right. Boy. Go slow.
Presses.
Go slow.
Oh, boy.
Are you starting at
the top or the bottom?
No. Start at 15.
Working my way up.
Yeah.
I do have an honorable mention that didn't quite crack the 15. And again, this is a hot take ranking based on what we – this is like wildly overreacting potentially to what we just saw super wild card weekend.
Oh, my God. Hit me at 16. What do you got?
Tua is 16 now.
Okay.
I think he was kind of fringe top 10. I know it was a cold weather game, but guess what, dude?
Melted. Dude melted in the snow.
What do you – so, okay, so I know that it was historically cold, but would that performance have been that much different if it was like 20 degrees warmer? I don't know. You guys tell me.
I mean, you could That's tell he tough. Wanted
Dude, I'm a 10. 10 degrees? No. 20? No,
10 degrees.
But you're going to play in weather in January. You're going to play in but snow, wind.
Weather is different than what that was. Like,
well, Patrick Mahomes was fine.
He lives there.
His helmet broke.
Like
he's not fine. His helmet shattered. I don't think you were watching the game, Mac.
And then they just broke the rules. They were like, Patrick, I know like the rules say an equipment change, you gotta either burn a timeout or go out for a play, but just grab one from the sideline. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. It's fine. Also, anyone who's ever played football in a cold weather game knows the pain of putting on that extra helmet that he went through. Like the cold, frozen helmet
that has never been worn.
Just never worn, right? They pulled it out of a bag somewhere. They're like, get him his extra helmet.
You'd rather just replace your head at that point.
Yeah, dude. Because it's like a brick. It's like putting on a fucking
and you're
brick.
Just ripping your ears off as it's coming on. Like that was, and you couldn't even get it like strapped, right? Even just hanging. I was like,
they even said like it doesn't fit him. They're like, it's not fitting him right now. I was like, dude, this dude's amazing.
Player safety, baby.
Player. So all right, safety.
Does anyone want to fight me on Tua?
I'll leave the rankings. I'll leave you in there for now.
We'll leave him there.
15, Baker Mayfield. I think he has a green arrow up back into the top 15.
Trending up.
Really good season. He has, you know, before the year, you could make a case he's just going to be a bounce around journeyman backup, and now he may have played his way into like a 2 or 3 year contract here. Yeah. I mean, hell,
his cap hit this year was like $1.7 million.
It'll be higher next year because he's a free agent. Yes. But it won't. I mean, he's not going to get like a top of the market $50 million deal.
$200 million.
He's going to get
Geno Smith deal.
Geno Smith or like Case Keenum for 3 years for 36. Like that's the kind of deal you're looking at for him next year.
Yeah. So Baker Mayfield 15. I'll go fast here. Again, overreaction. Jalen Hurts 14, Dak Prescott 13, my guy Kirk Cousins 12.
That's high.
Justin Herbert I have 11 now. He used to be like fourth or fifth before Super Wild Card Weekend. Because number 10,
Kirk played like 7 games this year. How do you have him ranked as 11th?
How does a guy who doesn't even play all season make 11?
Well, because he's going
to
come.
Justin Herbert like broke his hand week 4. How does he jump a guy who made it to the Mackie, you're ranking.
I'm not jumping Cousins over Herbert.
No, I'm saying you put him over Dak and Jalen and Baker. And Tua. All those guys made the playoffs.
That's fine. We'll move him
it's
back.
Fucked up.
We'll move him back. It's fine.
You were so bad in the playoffs that I had to fucking demote you.
No, but hold on. But they were. Dak Prescott was awful in that game.
Okay, keep going.
Next is gonna be Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers 8.
Wait, you don't think Aaron Rodgers right now is one of the 15 best quarterbacks? I forgot to put him on this list, so point taken.
Thank God.
You don't think he's one of the 15 best quarterbacks in the league right now?
No, I mean he didn't play. He didn't play.
He See, cannot
you're doing,
be ranked.
You're doing the same thing that these freaking fan voting Pro it's Bowl guys do.
You put a guy on here who's played like 12 plays.
Well, he didn't die. Like what?
He didn't play. No so one gives a shit over what you did last year.
He played a game.
Not one. One whole one?
He carried the flag out. That was his a-la moment this year. Carried the flag out and then fell on his face.
Okay, here we go, New York!
Here's my new top 10. Here's my new emotional top 10.
Hit me 10.
10, Jordan Love.
I'll give it to you.
Jordan Love the last 2 months has thrown, I think it's 23 touchdowns, one interception, 70% completions.
Yep.
He's making... Yep. Back foot throws with pressure in his face on a dime.
Aaron who? Got
this shit. They're, think about this. Quick side street here. For all you franchises out there, that are, whether you're a Vikings or whether you were the Buccaneers moving on from Tom Brady or the Lions moving on from Stafford, this fear of moving on from an aging quarterback. Oh, my God, what's going to happen? The Lions took a one-year timeout. They were back 9 wins 2 years later. Boom, one of the best teams in the league this year, right? The Buccaneers got better the year after they said goodbye to aging Tom Brady with Baker Mayfield and $80 million in dead cap. You can flip it quick in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
The Packers moved off Aaron Rodgers. They got better overnight with Jordan Love, right? So, like, this idea that, oh, man, if you're going to hang on to this aging, pocket-passing fossil that... You better be careful what you wish for on the other side. What do you mean? Like, I can win 9 games in a playoff game with Baker Mayfield if I build my roster the right way. So don't be afraid to move on. Jordan Love, 10. Matthew Stafford, 9.
For sure.
Jared Goff, up to 8 emotionally for me right now. Mm. Brock Purdy at 7. You guys are going to clown me for this, but Trevor Lawrence, before the high ankle sprain, was having an awesome season, like MVP candidate season. The high ankle sprain that he played through, look at his numbers before and after. Look at their wins and losses. So I'm giving Trevor Lawrence pre-high ankle sprain the benefit of the doubt. He's 6th. Joe Burrow didn't die. He's still top 5 when he comes back. Joe Burrow's 5th. CJ Stroud, 4th. Fight me.
4th.
Fight me.
I'm not.
4th?
I'm not going to, because he's a rookie. I'm going to give him that much respect. I'm not even kidding you. That dude went out.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. He just said it. Eventually,
over Purdy?
Yes.
Dude. Yes.
He's being asked to do a lot more than
Purdy. I'm absolutely going to take. Fuck yes, he is. Are you serious? Way less around him. Absolutely, I'm going to give him that. As a rookie? As a fucking rookie? Do you know how many rookies come and shit down their fucking leg to me all the time? Dude, this dude's out there like 1, nope, 2, nope, 3. Oh, there he is. Got him. I see you down there. Dude, you have to respect that. That is massive respect. No, I'm giving you that one on the 4. I'm actually going to move some of those dudes at 12 and 13. I'm going to move them way back, and I'm going to sit 4 right where he is. Because I agree with you, Searles. I think you were right about the MVP. I think if this kid can
next year, he's going to win the MVP.
Dude, if he continues to play like this and D'Amico Ryans can get this team rallying around him, dude, you have the perfect trifecta storm that just happened between all these rookie players and coaches that came together and were like, this isn't that fucking hard. This can't be. Watch this. Dude, love it.
Get him a running back next year.
Okay, if they get smoked in the next round,
say that.
I'm moving him back out of the 10 if they get smoked. Okay?
That's your emotional decision. Those are your emotional decisions. Hey, that game, and I think that's going to be one of the best games this weekend. The way that they've been playing, and they know that they're going to have to go to Baltimore to beat the Ravens. Like, dude, that game's going to be. And the Ravens haven't played in 2 weeks.
I know. All right, give me your 3.
I'll finish the rankings.
Finish it up here.
Right. 3 Lamar Jackson, 2 Josh Allen, 1 still Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to switch 2 and 3.
I'm switching 1 and 3.
Lamar number 1.
Lamar is number 1. Lamar right now is playing the best football for a quarterback. I mean, you watched him the last half of the year.
Yeah.
You couldn't get him on the ground.
He's amazing.
Like, you're watching him run away from Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett, and they're just chasing him, like, just please stop running. And all the time, he's just eyes downfield. He's not being erratic. He's not trying to just create with his legs. He's keeping his eyes downfield, finding Zay Flowers, finding Odell Beckham. Like, he is playing MVP caliber football this year. Mahomes has had his moments, but he's also had his ups and downs. I can't give Mahomes a top spot this year. He may be the best in the world to do it. Like, and there's no doubt about that. He's probably the best, but not.
I'll give it to him. They have the third most drops this season. I don't think he could do anything else other than just throw it where he is. They just need to catch it. Like, oh, you got to catch the fucking ball when it's thrown to you. It's that easy. Absolutely, Pat Mahomes, number one. By the way, he's also out of these top seven, eight guys, he's the only one with the Super Bowl. Sorry. Yeah, you're clearly number one. Until somebody unthrones you, you are the king.
Unthrones?
Unthrones.
Dethrones or unthrones?
Dethrones, unthrones. Don't give a shit. None of these guys have done it yet. We got to work.
He called the head coach of the Bills, Josh McDermott, either, and none of us corrected him. So it's fine.
Nick McDermott.
No, I didn't.
Bob.
We can check the tape. McDermott? You want to put a steak and a beer on it? You want to put a steak on a deer?
I did call him Josh.
You called him Josh McDermott earlier in the show.
Like, I care.
We need that. What's that commercial where they throw the red flag?
Running through my head. Everyone's like, dude, that's not his name. Shoot me. So sorry.
Oh, man. Isn't it funny, though, that like you look at a list like this, and I will admit that there's a lot of emotional undertones in these rankings, but there's not like the establishment that we know, right? The last, like, how many guys have left? Like, Rodgers is still technically around, but Brady gone. You know, Matt Ryan used to be on these lists, and Ben Roethlisberger for 15 years was on these lists. And now it's a fun new young wave. We've got our new Manning and Brady, and then we've got all these other dudes who are 27 and younger. I mean, Lamar Jackson's like 27, right? I mean, Josh Allen's 27.
Yeah.
And Stroud, Burrow, Trevor.
I mean, the AFC right now, the quarterbacks in the AFC are leaps and bounds, like top heavy, way better than the NFC. Yeah. But the NFC has a bunch of high draft picks this year. And I think a lot of them are going to try and go out and get the Drake Mays, the Caleb Williams. Like, there's going to be a balance here because the AFC was not that for so long. They drafted all these guys when they were bad. So I think we'll see a little bit more of a balance. But it was the fear that everyone talked about, like, are we going to get the Bradys and the Mahomes or the Bradys and the Mannings anymore? Like, is that even going to be a thing? And I think we have a better version of both of them, right? Like, it's exciting football. It's going to be Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen for a long time. And Lamar. Like, those four in the AFC are going to just be battling every single year for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. All right, somebody hit us with it.
Here's what's crazy, too, is in your list, you don't get to an NFC team until 7. And that's a system quarterback. 8 is also a system quarterback. 9 is the first one you get to that's actually talented and can throw the ball. Like, has been known to zing it down the field. That's what's crazy is when you look at all these are all AFC quarterbacks. Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
it's crazy. Herbert, I never thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute. Now that I'm looking at this,
the AFC's stacked.
Herbert with a better coach and situation could easily sure rises back up into the top 6 or 7.
For sure.
I think. So,
but I think after that, I think you have a great. Great. I'm actually not against any of this, but I flipped 2 and 3. Sorry.
Okay. Who's somebody hit me with one more, Mike. Oh, okay. By the way, who's got it better than us? You see the news this morning. So Jim Harbaugh has now interviewed with the Chargers and the Falcons. The Falcons came out first two interviews out of the gate. Belichick and Harbaugh.
They're not messing around, dude.
And they released it during the game.
Yeah,
that was the other part. He's like, they got leaked during the divisional or the wild card game. It's like, oh.
Arthur Smith is like, we are on one this year, boys. And think about it. They're just a quarterback away from actually being really talented. Like, they could be, especially in that division. Let's be honest. Drew Brees is not in that division anymore. Tom Brady's not there anymore. Like,
it's Baker Mayfield
Cam Newton, though, was not all over running all over people in that division anymore. Like, that division could easily be taken. And I'll tell you what, I don't think they get either of them. But I would love to see them get a really competitive coach like a Vrabes or a Belichick. Like, I feel like they are close to what they want.
And that was going to be my mic was the who's got it better than us. Harbaugh's coming into the NFL. As much as I want him to stay at Michigan, I don't want to see him leave because I love what he is for college football. I think that's probably going to happen. I also, if he goes to a team that is in position to pick J.J. McCarthy, and he passes on him, I think he's full of shit. Talk about how he was the best quarterback to ever come out of Michigan.
Well, wait, though. So let's say it's Atlanta, and they have the 8th pick, and then they have the 40th pick. They pass on him at 8 because they don't think he's a top 10 pick, and then somebody else swoops him up What if they were like, what if they draft Jaden Daniels?
You
they
can't think come out and say he's the best quarterback. I think he's the best, and then get at to him Michigan. In the draft and be like,
yeah, but he dude. Never said anything about
yeah,
LSU.
He never said about no. the country. He just said this is the best kid to come out of Michigan. I don't think you can look at that, and I don't see no. that. And
I'm also a McCarthy hater. I mean, I am. I'm a big time JJ McCarthy hater. I think he's terrible. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's good. I've been dying on this hill on the podcast with Collier over there on Purple Insider, just because every time a Vikings fan's like, oh, McCarthy, I'm like, please don't. Please. This dude threw 10 passes in the national championship. 10. He beat Penn State throwing it like 6 times. You can't tell me this dude's a first-round quarterback and generational talent when you don't have to ask him to go do like what Michael Penix did. Be like, no. Hey, we need you to throw for 450 yards.
With a broken rib.
No. I will say this. You got to give us Vikings people a little bit of grace. We have quarterback beer goggles from 30 years of Christian Ponders. And remember we brought in Josh Freeman one time from Monday Night Game. We got excited. Dude.
Let it go. So Kwesi's going to be like, fine.
Vikings fans have Christian Ponder PTSD, so we get fair. Excited about pretty much anything that could be new and flashy. But so you're saying give it a chance if you're a quarterback needy team late. I'm not saying top 10. I'm not putting him anywhere.
I'm
near,
saying
like,
it, not in the first.
Let's say early second. You're not taking a flyer on JJ McCarthy.
Nope.
You're
third
you're
round at best. Third round at best.
So you're more into like a Bo Nix. Maybe a Michael Penix situation. Yep. Okay,
I think people are going to fall in love with his arm talent, and they're going to fall in love with all this stuff. But like, I haven't seen it in games. And listen, if you're in the NFL, you're going to have to throw it more than 10 times. It's not how this works. You have to be able to drop back 30 times a game, if necessary, 40, and deliver it on time. And you are blind projecting that with JJ McCarthy. Pure blind projection. Don't love that. Don't love that when you're talking about betting the franchise on it. Just saying, I think he's down there with the sixth quarterback.
Which, what are your, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, but like, what are your current quarterback prospect rankings? Give me like one through six.
Drake May,
number one.
Caleb Williams.
Why? Wait, why?
I think Drake May is more pro ready with his emotions, with his professionalism, and with the arm talent. Caleb Williams is by far the better prospect with what every draft person falls in love with. Potential, right? His ceiling is so high and all that, but with potential and with ceiling comes what? Risk. So much risk. If you want to be safe and still get that generational type talent, in my opinion, Drake May is the number one choice. Drake May is ready to walk in there, plug and play. He's going to come in. He's going to be a professional, ready to go. Caleb Williams is not in control of his emotions. He's not. He's not in control of his emotions. And I go back to, I think this is a Lincoln Riley problem. Look at Baker Mayfield when he first came in the league. Look at Kyler Murray when he first came into the league. Like, these dudes come into the league with just, they have no structure. They have no bounds. And it takes a while for them to get themselves on track. And talk about it, Caleb Williams is just the next step in that progression. He could be the next Patrick Mahomes and be great. But is he going to get there? It's hard for me to say, yeah, for sure, 100%. I think Drake May is the better bet on that.
Wow.
And
think the Bears do the Bears have, I mean, it's so early in the process right now.
They haven't made a decision. They haven't publicly said what they're doing, right? Like, they haven't been like,
no decision on the field front. Right?
Have they even like brought it up? Have they been like, we're going to go back yet. And evaluate? Yeah, then they're not going to draft a quarterback. I mean, unless this shit's already been pushed, like,
wait, you don't think the Bears are going to draft?
You don't think they draft a quarterback at all?
I don't think so, buddy.
Dude,
I think
it would be franchise suicide to continue forward with a non-top 15 quarterback.
For 30 years. What changes overnight?
Dude, you don't sit in this position of having the number one overall pick often. Like, this is the Arizona Cardinals when they took, who was it? It was Sam Darnold, right?
Yeah. There was nine mistakes before
him. Rosen?
Or what are you talking about?
Yes, Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
When they took Josh Rosen, and then like 2 years later, they're like,
next year.
We missed.
The next year.
Yeah, they missed.
They took Kyler Murray, the number one.
Like, we missed. We're going back to it. And I think that's where the Bears are at. Like, are we willing to bet the farm that Fields is going to take us to the playoffs next year? Because that's the only option that if you keep Fields, if you don't go to the playoffs with Fields, it was a failure. Oh, yeah. Are we willing to bet our jobs? And are we willing to bet the farm that he's going to do that? Or do we buy some grace with the fan base? Do we buy some grace with the owner and take a new quarterback and say, we're trying this again? You got to take a quarterback with the one. You have to.
Agreed.
Especially between these two guys, between Caleb and Drake. These two dudes could be great.
Yeah.
I mean, great.
And so much of this is about, too, okay, even if you think that Fields, oh, maybe there's another step and let's just keep building the car on Fields. Well, okay, that's great. But in a year, then you're going to have to start paying him at least $30 million, probably closer to $40 or $50 million with the cap going up, as opposed to resetting that clock with, by the way, you might reset the clock with a quarterback that's just better after like the first 8 weeks of the season once he gets a chance to settle in. I mean, think about if this is where the Bears have been adding pieces. The Bears they've got weapons now. They've got a defensive front. They won a bunch of games at the end of the year. If they get this right and they've got cap space and they have another top 10 pick, they could go get another edge rusher or whatever it is. Like, they're in a really interesting spot if they nail two top 10 picks and a big free agent. But I don't know if hanging on to Justin Fields, because you could make a case, okay, cool, trade back, take Marvin Harrison Jr., take a defensive player and keep building it around Justin Fields. But if he's not the guy, now you're stuck in purgatory. Now you're going to be winning 8 or 9 games, and you're not going to have another shot at the first quarterback off the board for however long. So
you have to take one. And then just to finish on the thought, Jaden Daniels, third quarterback off the board. I think you can't pass on what he did at LSU this year. I mean, he looked very Lamar Jackson-esque, and I know Lamar fell to the end of the first. I don't think a team's going to let that risk happen again, especially with the way the quarterbacks are going.
Yeah.
Michael Penix is the fourth. Bo Nix is the fifth. J.J. McCarthy is the sixth.
Hmm. You know, Jaden Daniels is so interesting because he ran for, it was like 8 yards a carry, 1,000 yards. He put up crazy, passing game productivity. There have been questions about, so he is 6'4", but he's like a wiry 6'4". But you know what? Lamar Jackson's been wiry. It's not like, you don't have to be Josh Allen, Cam Newton. Yeah.
Those dudes know how to avoid hits and slide out of things and just fall down.
Like, and guess who missed the whole season? 260-pound Anthony Richardson, who was supposed to be indestructible linebacker playing quarterback.
You can't be a bulldozer in this league all the time. And Josh, he played through some shoulder injury this year too. But Lamar, like the wiry guys, like you said, like they know how to just get down, not take the hit, run out of bounds, and just be faster than everyone at times. Just be like, just run away from guys. So, yeah, that's how I have the quarterbacks ranked right now. I mean, things may change as the process goes here, but I'm a McCarthy hater. I have been all year.
So. Let me just gonna close that out. I just want to be clear. And if his family, is consuming, just know that I hate your son. I hate
cannot
your
stand
brother.
Him
your
as a prospect, and anytime I hear people talk about him in the first round, I want
to get mad. I want to.
So if the Vikings take him, I'm going to.
They
throw
probably
up in
will.
My mouth.
They probably will.
Oh man, yeah, God. There's a whole nother. We'll have to do the Vikings thing on a different O-line committee episode. But you guys want to make some picks here? Some divisional round picks?
Oh, let's talk about last week's picks.
All right. Oh, of course. Oh, now you want to look at last week's
picks. Yeah, now. One time all year.
Let's take a peek. Hey, man. I'm coming down. Don't sleep. These were worth double, weren't they?
No, they were worth single.
Are you sure? I thought they were double.
No.
They were worth triple. Now you're in the lead. It's crazy. Mm. We make picks straight up because spreads are for losers,
which we need that as a t-shirt, by the way. I want that in the merch shop.
Spreads are for losers.
Spreads are for losers. Presented by DraftKings. No. I was 3-3 last week. I think it was my worst week of the year or one of them. And you guys both had good weeks. Alex went 4-2. Jay went 5-1 on the back of Baker Mayfield picking the Bucks.
It was the Jordan Love pick. That's the pick that he made it off of.
Well, you made both of those.
Yep.
Fucking Cowboys. So what's your record?
I'm 54-24. Alex, you are 51-27, so you're now just 3 games back. Jay is now just 5 games back at 49-29.
Mm.
So we got here's my proposal. We got the 4 wild card game or the 4 division round games this weekend.
Yep.
We can start making all of these going forward worth more points. 2 points for these divisional round games. Let's go 2 points for the just 1 point maybe for the conference games, and then no, I'm just kidding. What do you guys want to do? Do you want to go 2 points for the divisional games? Up the stakes here? It's the only way you can catch me, really.
I'm in for sure.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
All right, here we go.
Kangaroo court in session.
Okay. Here we go.
Texans at Ravens.
I'm going to let you guys go first.
I'll take the Ravens. Give me the Ravens. It was a great ride by the Texans, but
I'm going Ravens too. I like the Ravens here. I think they continue to be the best team in football. The Texans have been playing playoff games for like 3 or 4 weeks now, right? Like they were constantly on that bubble of like, we have to keep winning. We have to keep winning. That eventually emotionally catches up with you. And a big emotional win after hosting a playoff game. Now you're heading into the juggernaut of what is the Ravens. I worry the tank's not quite full enough to beat a full, complimented Ravens football team right now.
Yeah. Okay.
As you can tell, I want to. And here's why. 2 weeks off, that's a lot. That is a massive speed bump to overcome, because then when you get back out there, you feel like everything is just so much faster than it really is. And the other team doesn't feel like that because, like Jay just said, they've been playing playoff football games for the last 4 weeks. So their brain is super wired to roll as fast as humanly possible and not think about anything. But this is an outdoor stadium, and it is in Baltimore, and the Ravens are the number one seed. And I just want to note it, massive kudos. And what the Houston Texans did this year was awesome. And I think a lot of people slept on them. Coward. Dude. Love it. Love what you did, but you're right. Ravens are going to take this one, number one seed.
Forecast, by the way, we're looking at
snow,
below rain. Freezing temperatures with 15 to 20 mile an hour winds with gusts that are higher than that. So it could be cold and windy. Yeah. Lamar Jackson doesn't – I think between the two, Lamar Jackson could just run the ball for 80 yards in weather like that, right? So
yeah,
we'll see. So we're all taking the Ravens.
Yeah.
Just to be clear there.
I think we have to.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, let's do Packers at Niners. This is your squad, dude.
Go ahead, Searles. Go ahead, Searles.
I can't.
Do it, Searles.
I didn't pick the Packers because I'm in love with the Packer football team. I picked the Packers because they're playing the Cowboys. And the Cowboys melt in the playoffs. Like, until they don't, I will not pick the Cowboys. It didn't matter. They could have been playing the Sisters of the Blind, Deaf, and Dumb. It wouldn't have mattered. I would have picked them. I would have picked them to beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. Right? I didn't love this Packers team. That all said, I think it's a much closer game. Similar to what you said, Boone, the Packers are the hottest team in the NFL right now. Far, far and away. What they did the last half of the season, that looked like a 12-13 win football team, not a 9-8 football team. Mm-hmm. Like the way they turned it on, the way that Mackie, you talked about the stats that Jordan Love has. The problem with the Packers, I don't think they can hold up against this pass rush.
I agree.
That's Jordan Love is going to be under duress.
He's going to be
harassed the whole game. You've got Bosa, you've got Young, you've got Hargrave, like, you've got dudes across on that D-line. That's going to be the difference in this game. San Fran wins. McCaffrey comes back healthy, full complement. The only thing that stops them is if your quarterback's elbow explodes again. That's it. That's the only thing that stops them is if both quarterback elbows explode. So give me the Niners.
Niners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Niners. It's Niners. Is it Niners for all of us here?
Yeah.
And it's a tip of the cap. Dude, the Packers 2 months ago, you're looking at that team thinking that might be a top five draft pick. They're probably going to draft a quarterback because they do have a decision on Jordan Love here. He's going to get paid this summer starting in 2025, but he's worth it. Yeah. I don't think it's a fluke what he's done the last 8 weeks. And it's incredible that franchise has now hit on a third consecutive top quarterback. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame like the other two quite yet, but.
But he took him to the playoffs his first year. That's good enough. And here's what's crazy, too. This kind of needs to be a little bit of a mic. When we're talking about the contract negotiations, normally people are like, let's go look at the 4 years of work. Now they're like, let's look back at 1 year.
Scary, and it's like, dude.
That's what's going to really become crazy. It's because terrifying. When they do lose this week, they're going to turn around and go, is that enough to pay a dude? Is that enough to pay a dude? Is it enough to pay him $400 million?
And it's not even really a full year. It's half a year.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, right? It's half a year.
It didn't start very well. It ended well.
Who are you? Are you Jekyll or are you Hyde? And which one are we getting for $40 million?
But the problem is there's no middle ground because you're competing against a market of 32 teams where there's always like 10 looking desperately for a quarterback.
They would easily snatch him up. That's what I'm saying. This is the situation where you look back and you go, like in 5 years, if someone goes, how did the Packers get here? You go, oh, he didn't play the first 3 years. He played 1 year, started off shitty, ended up going to the playoffs. They ended up signing him to a record deal because they knew if he were to ever walk out this door, somebody else would sign him. Like, this is why shit is crazy sometimes. You look over at the Saints and you're like, how are you $90 million in the hole? And you're like, oh, that one year that you guys decided to pay that one guy, and you were like, fuck everybody else down the road. We don't care. Like, this is where the teams need to make serious decisions. And it's crazy because it's the Packers. And you just never thought you would see them go down this road of like, are you going to massively overpay somebody to be on your team? This is crazy.
Well, I mean, they did with Rodgers.
Again. And then they are you going to put yourself in purgatory again?
Again.
But they draft. But
to be fair, Aaron Rodgers has a gold jacket. I don't know if you could say he was ever overpaid. Like, dudes that wear gold jackets are hard to be like, that guy was overpaid.
You know what? I mean,
I don't know if I can put a price on that.
At the end, it was. I think he was trying to get his a little bit more at the end, and he did. Yeah. Okay, Bucks at Lions.
Oh, Lions. Time to roll. Can we? And by the way, Lions, we didn't even make that a mic. The best
the Lions, the yeah, we didn't even talk about them. But the what? Lions, the Lions lucked out in this draw. I mean, the ability to have to play, the ability to play a home game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Love you, Baker. Love what you did.
Love them,
but they're gonna roll,
dude. Last week was epic.
The only thing that scares me, and I talked about this last week, and it almost came back to bite them. The secondary of the Lions is super suspect. I mean, super suspect.
To be fair,
and they shut down. They did a good job against Coop and Puka and Cooper, but Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Trey Palmer, like got some dudes, and Baker just gets it to them in the right way. Good offensive line to neutralize Aiden Hutchinson. It's a good matchup. I just think that the best thing Detroit's going to do is keep Baker off the field.
So watch out if you're the Bucs skill position players. Watch out for your ACLs. In this game. Hey,
listen, I have nothing to problem. I have no problem with that dude's hit. I don't think it's I don't think it's dirty. The way the rules have been written, you can't get upset about that. Is it the greatest hit in the world? Could it be better? Probably. But unless you're going to say, hey, we won't fine you if you go try and blow that dude's rib cage up, it's what's going to happen. And you've heard players come out and say it time and time again, I'd rather get hit in the head than get my knee taken out. But the NFL has deemed that that was a better play than up top. I don't fault the guy for how he's trying to tackle guys. He also gives up 50 pounds to those dudes.
And Boone, you can fight us, but like, here's where I'm at with this. And you guys freaking play in the NFL for, you know, a decade and a half combined. These guys are being asked on defense. So it's for 10 years, it is off. The head is off limits. CTE, concussions. The NFL spent 10 years pounding it into people, right? You cannot go high. You cannot missile in. You can't tackle up. Okay, so that's fine. That's fine. Whatever. We'll adjust. So I got here, chest, shoulders all the way down. It's a close playoff game or a close any game, right? Jobs are on the line. Contracts are on the line. This tight end is rumbling, and I am, boy, if I don't make a tackle, he might run for a touchdown or whatever. I need to stop him from moving, and I can't go high. If you go into his torso, there's a good chance he's, 6'3", 250 pounds. You might bounce off of him. What's the best way to get him on the ground? Go at his legs.
Right through his legs.
I don't know.
And all they have to do is duck, right? All they have to do is see you coming and go like this, and you hit him in the head, 15 yards, beak, and a nice big hefty FedEx, and a nice big hefty FedEx on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. That's why this hit was different, because as soon as he caught it, he got taken out. That's why I'm saying, like, there's a time and a place, and people can say whatever they want. They weren't out there with me, so I don't really need anybody's advice. There's a time and a place to be a dick. Going for somebody's
knee. I don't think he's being a dick.
Dude, I'm telling you, go watch the play. He literally just runs right at his leg. Right at his leg.
He literally caught ball, went for his knee.
Literally caught ball, went for his knee. 50 pounds lighter, so you're like, hey, let's go tear his ACL while he's outstretched in the middle of the field.
You're not
going
to make the tackle, are you?
You're not going to make the tackle. You could bounce off him. Or you're going to have to smoke him so high up. Let's go tear his
fucking knee in half. Like, I have a very hard time being like, yeah, that was cool to me. And I've never been said that that's cool to me, going for someone's knees like that. I've never once been like, yeah, go. I don't care if you want to hit a dude in the rib cage.
I'm not saying that it's the proper way to do it. But by the way, the law has been written of the NFL, there is no other choice. But what's so the other choice, Boone? What's the other choice?
First ribs. What do we do with the quarterbacks? Can't hit them high, can't hit them low. Nobody complains. Nobody goes, ah, this is bullshit. Everybody just
goes, they do. What are you talking about? Everyone complains because there's roughing the passers all over the place. Oh, my God. That's a terrible
we
take.
Do it. We do it at the refs that we barely get hit. But the minute he gets hit in his knees, everyone goes, can't do that. Everybody literally says, you can't do that. That's a fucking fact. I'm not saying we agree with the Searles. I'm just saying that the minute the quarterback gets hit at the knees, everybody goes, that's a for sure flag. That's a flag. We've accepted that.
So now everyone's protected. So now you're going to say the knees are protected, the head is protected. Like there's, so you're saying that the defender has a box this big?
So did the DN. Because if you start, the DNs have a box that big.
You know how fast these dudes are moving.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's the rules. I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm literally saying
it was a dirty hit, though.
Yes, I do. You went for his fucking knee like that. I'm not cool with that.
I mean, most people agree with Alex. I never was cool with Alex. Alex,
I hate to tell you, bro. Most of the guys in the NFL do too. Bro,
I agree with you too. I'm telling you, it's not a dirty hit if that's the only way you're allowed to get dudes down.
No, that was dirty.
It's the only way you can get dudes down. All right.
Then don't play. I don't know what to say.
I mean, listen.
Poor dude's ACL's career is probably forever over.
Jay and I are in the minority here. Most people agree with Alex. But I would say this. If that's the case, then it needs to be a rule. We need to add another page to the 750-page current NFL rule book.
I agree.
So that players know. Because if I'm a player out there, again, it's like jobs, money, playoffs on the line. What's legal? What's not? And if it's currently legal and I got to make a tackle, like I get it. But I hear you, Boone, too. I mean, it sucks. Listen, TJ Hockenson, same deal. Same player.
Yeah, yes.
Kirby Joseph, right?
Dude, everyone's getting taken out like this now. And everyone's like, well, it's the game. And it's like, that dude's going to need his knee rewired. And we're over here like, that's the game? It's the way we've been playing this game? I don't know, dude. He was pretty outstretched. And you were just kind of going for that knee right away. I just have
If he doesn't make that tackle and they go score a touchdown, or he gets a 15-yard penalty.
Or maybe he doesn't make the tackle and his friend comes and helps him make the tackle. I don't know. I'm just saying that can we just stay off the fucking knees? I agree. Stay off of them. Stay off the head. Stay off the knees. What do you want me to say? Dude, Charles, we wouldn't have so many retired guys walking around like me if we could just stay off the knees.
I mean, you could put a rib through a guy's lung, too. I think we should stay out of the torso, too.
Yeah, you know, that could be scary. You know, it's scary when you're getting hit. I can't give you this one.
In summary, we all have the Lions beating the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, Lions.
For sure.
Lions over the Bucs. Okay, Chiefs at Bills.
Roll, Bills, roll, baby. I'm all aboard the Bills. Fire me up. Take it. Inject it in my veins. Allen finally beats Mahomes. Give it to me. In Orchard Park. Place is going to be electric. Tables on fire. Feet of snow everywhere. Cold as shit. Give me the Buffalo Bills.
I'll go next so Boone can pick against me if he wants to. I agree. This is the Peyton Manning finally gets the home game against Tom Brady. I know that there's a bunch of injury issues with the Bills right now, but this is the time finally for the Bills. Now, of course, then they're going to have to deal with, well, we finally got over the mountain. Yeah, that's the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're only halfway through the playoffs, and the Ravens are sitting over there right now.
They're waiting.
So
fly across the country or fly down the coast.
Yeah. So we will have that discussion when the time comes. But I have the Bills finally conquering the Chiefs in this game.
Boom. You know, I really want to go with you guys on this one.
Uh-oh.
I really do think that. Oh. And not only that, but Kansas City. I mean, I think this is just where they – it's hard, though, because
– You gave him the number one quarterback spot. You can't give him the number
one
quarterback.
What did I say? How many balls did they drop? You can do everything you want, but if your receiver doesn't drop the ball – everyone's looking now like, yeah, you're right. They are the third most. You're right. They have some really good balls. Yeah. I just think that the Bills defense, though, they lost another middle linebacker, and that's the one thing that's like, God, how many guys can you keep? How many special teams players can you throw out there now that can eventually track down Patrick Mahomes or find Rashee Rice or all of a sudden Travis Kelce's over across the middle? Like, it's their defense. I want to go Bills. I do. I'll tell you what. Let's do it.
You're going Bills?
I don't know. Can Spags do it again? Can Spags do it again? I don't know. No, 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 no. I'll tell you what. All right, here we go. I'll take KC in this one.
Oh, there it is, dude.
I'll do it.
All right. Come on, Spags, man. So only one difference this week. So we all have the same teams except for Booney's stepping out of line and picking the Chiefs here with a chance to.
I feel like that was bound to happen, though. When you have kind of the dogs win in the Super Wild Card weekend, usually everyone's like, okay, let's see if they come back down to earth against the real dudes. Like, we'd be high to have to pick against Baltimore, San Fran this week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just. You got to give those dudes, they're the number one seed for the reason.
Yeah.
Right? Especially playing against teams that are just happy to kind of be there. You know, I mean, the Packers are just, they even talked about it on the broadcast almost ad nauseum. You know, they're just no pressure. They're just playing with house money. They're just happy to be here. Flips a little bit more in the divisional. There's a little bit more pressure on you now in the divisional. Like, you're not just playing like, oh, and the Niners are coming in just juggernaut, right? And same thing with the Ravens. So we'd be high not to pick those two. I think we'll have a little bit different, probably a little bit different for conference. We'll see. We'll see.
So, all right, boys, let's do a couple of dumb football questions here. And by the way, we're going to have, once the playoffs are over, we're going to have a lot more space on this podcast for dumb football questions. But
so much more.
We'll hit you with a couple here to wrap the show. Golf Nut, and you can always send us in the YouTube comment section. We love getting your dumb football questions, so keep stockpiling them, especially for the offseason. Golf Nut wants to know, how common was it that players would fake injuries at the end of games to stop the clock?
I've seen it happen a couple times.
I have as well. And I was actually just having this discussion with Zach Zenner, who was with the Lions. And it was when, I think it happened this weekend, right? Someone was like, and he said that at one point. He said, Patricia like came in the huddle and was like, it was like a quick change. He's like, boys, defense is gassed. Who's going to do it? And he said, he looked at Zenner and Zenner was like, not me. And then some other one, I can't remember who he said, he's like, I'll do it, coach. And ran out there and was just like, hamstring cramp. Like he said, the trainers ran out. He's like, just give me some water. Just pour my mouth, stretch out my calves. Like, so like it definitely happens. You know, I think it happens more in college than it does in the NFL, just with like the high tempo stuff. But I mean, it definitely, there's conversations that are had on the sideline. Like, all right, who's doing it? Who's falling on the sword? And it's usually some like backup special teamer that they kind of throw in there for a play, right? They're like, you just go in and fall down and just hold your leg.
It's funny. You see videos on social where it's very, you know, some guys running and there's clearly a coach pointing or something. And oh, yeah, God.
They're pointing down. They're like pointing to the ground. Go down. Dude, we were in London and who were we playing? We're playing Denver when it was, what's the coach? The one that just got fired in Vegas.
Josh McDaniels
when he was young. We were playing Denver and so they were driving on us. I remember looking over at Cowboy and he kept looking at the sideline and he was like, now do you want me to go down now? And they were like, no, go to the next one. So then like the next one he's like walking down and they're like, no, and he's like just collapses. I remember seeing him before he could hit the ground. They had everybody on the field checking him, and he just got, he's like, "What's up, stud? Sometimes you got to take one of those for the team, stud." Oh, this guy's a man, dude. It's hilarious. It's funny though because they just look over like, "No, go down now."
Yeah.
Dude, it happens.
Peter Griffin.
Coach forgot to get that play in too early, man. He had to call burn a timeout. We used to have to do that all the time, burn timeouts.
Yeah, like 12 guys on the field, and you're like, oh, God. There's
three guys step out of the huddle.
Anthony D., we've had a couple variations of this question going back to when we launched this podcast in the summertime, so we can hit this again. Anthony D. says, what is it like to manage your body post-career? The NFL is notorious for its 100% injury rate. Do all vets have long-term detrimental effects on their health?
Yes.
Very simple, in 10 years?
Very simply put, yes. Everyone has some lingering thing that they bring with them out of the league, some worse than others. You know, Boone and I, it's our knees. Zach Zenner, my partner, it's his back. Like, there's long-term effects that go to play this game. It's a violent game. Right, it's a violent game. It's a brutal game. You put a lot of stress and tear on your body, but there are huge advancements even in just the last 10 years of ways for us to take care of our bodies post career. Right, the first thing for Boone is it's getting the weight off, right? Getting the weight off, getting the load off those joints, and then just trying to understand, hey, how long do we have to hold out before you can replace my knee? Right, like, do I need to get to 40? Is it 41? Like, what's the age here? Like, Boone's been told the same thing. I had an MRI of my knee when I was getting some issues, and they're like, oh, your ACL's gone, your meniscus is grinded to dust. Like, but you're 32. We can't replace it now because you'll wear it out in like 10 years. Revision. We can't just keep replacing it. Yep. Right? So they're like, you just got to get to like 45, man. I'm like, it's a long fucking time. Like, that's a long ways away. Yeah. But it's all about trying to just find ways to the worst thing you do, and I don't know if they agree with me or not, is stop lifting. A lot of guys are like, I'm done with the league. I don't want to lift anymore. I'm out. But our joints are so beat up that if you don't keep that muscle strength around your joints, like the degeneration and everything's just going to catch up with you. And that's when you get in a lot of pain, stop moving. Like movement and lifting for me has been super key of talking with a bunch of guys that how you just kind of keep your body maintained throughout your post career.
Yeah, I think Searles hit that on the head. Like you got to lose the weight, number one. You got to continue maintaining, taking care of yourself. You got to eat right. You got to do all these things because we see guys that fall out of the league and they just, it's over. Like they don't want to do anything. They're like, man, I'm done. I can't do this shit anymore. You're like, dude, you got to do something though. Like you, number one, we were all very competitive and we were all very active. We were all up at 5 in bed at midnight. Like we were partying late. We were back up early. Like you can't just end that. Like, I feel like the minute you see guys going into these depressions is when they're like, I'm not doing anything anymore. And you're like, dude, you got to stay active. Like, you got to go out and you got to run around. You got to be a part of everything and you got to jump into these worlds. Because when you do, you start to realize that this was the journey that everybody told us about. Like, they were like, yeah, man, being in the NFL is great. And it's a lot of work and it's super fucking cool. But the greatest thing about this is when you're done, you go give back to everybody that you can. And you just continue to push everything as far as you can. And you go back and you coach and you talk to all these kids about being good kids and getting good grades and doing all these things. And then all of a sudden you're like 10 worlds in and you're like, dude, this is amazing. And then at the same time, it keeps you connected with everybody that we were friends with. Like, I think that's why Jay and I love what we do. Because we're constantly talking to all of our friends. We're talking to all our old coaches. We're constantly starting to meet new kids, meeting all these new coaches. Like, it's just such a small world that the minute you jump in it, I feel bad when people leave and they never come back. You're like, dude, this was our thing, man. We did this as friends and we should have. And you, like, going to the combine last year was it's just so awesome. And you see all these guys and they're doing great things and these guys own these companies. And like Jay said, they just continue to push the envelope. And they're like, you know what? I'm not done. I had great success, but I'm not done. I want to keep doing more. And you're like, I got to keep chase this asshole so for 10 years.
It's worth it is what you're saying. Oh, so, if someone says, hey, minute. you're going to be in pain. And I mean, I've said this before.
You're going to hurt real bad.
The first or second time Booney came on my old radio show when he was, you know, with the Vikes. And I said, because there's a big, like the CTE movie had come out and it was a big topic. Yeah, concussion. Yeah. And I said, hey, if I told you right now, you're going to die 10 years earlier, but you will still have played football and made a bunch of money and whatever, is it worth it? You like didn't even let me finish the question. You're like, yes. Oh my God. 100% worth it.
This was, I can't tell you the people that we get to meet and we get to talk to and the kids that we get to interact with and the things that they tell you. And then all of a sudden you're just, it's so awesome, dude. And these people that you get to like talk to all day, like even hanging out with Jay all day, like it's sometimes we sit back and we're like, dude, this is really what we did. But
dude, we got paid a small fortune to play a child's game. But like that's what it comes down to. Like,
and it was worth it.
You watch 8-year-olds running around just like, you're having fun. And then they're like, hey, you want to make a bunch of money and do the same thing you did when you were 8 years old? Like, fuck yeah. Why wouldn't I want to do that? Right? Like, they're going to say like, yeah, you're going to get hurt and it's going to be painful down the road. But dude, you're such a part of such a select group.
Yeah.
Like that video came out a while ago and Boone, I don't remember if you saw it. Mac, you probably did, where it's like between the year 2000, 2023, there was like 26,000 people in the world that actually took a snap during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's such a small number. Like if you have the opportunity to be part of the elite, regardless if you were a backup player or not, you stepped on a football field at any point during the regular season or the playoffs and played a snap, you're part of an elite group.
By the way, that was, so I just found it because I did see that video. Since the inception of the NFL, 25,000 people have played a snap. Isn't that crazy? In the NFL. So think about this. If you went to any NFL stadium, 25,000 people would fill the lower bowl maybe. Like it would fill a third of the stadium. That's how many people in 100 years of NFL football have played, 25,000.
And when you think about it, it makes total sense. And there's a lot of times that when Jay and I talk to these kids, a lot of what we say is like, listen, we got to be a part of those 25,000 guys because we said yes when everyone else said no. Could never say no to these guys. Like, mm-hmm. This is the test. Will he accept everything that we throw at him? Will he even get rattled a little bit? And the minute you sit there like a badass, they're like, welcome, young man. And you're like, I did it. Oh my God. And then all of a sudden you see all your friends that like, and it's funny because dude, remember, I have a picture on my Instagram of like the first time I met Alan Page, right? Like we were just over at this community thing And I remember I shook his hand and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with your hand? And I looked at it like, dude, what did you do? And he was like, it's kind of cool, isn't it? Like, it hangs out this way and back up and then back out. And I was like, can you even move that? And he was like, no, doesn't move. But I was like, this is what we signed up for. How crazy must we be to be like, show me that again. Mine's going to look way cooler. I promise you. I'm going to break mine so much more. Like, that's how competitive we were. You're broken. I'll break myself even more. Yeah. Like, you're just psychos at some
time. That's like there's line of duty. There's a benefit that you can apply for. I was talking to one of the guys in the gym about this the other day. They're like, hey, so like, what's this? And I was like, oh, line of duty. I was like, they give you a point system and you get to go through and be like, how bad did you break yourself? Put your point score in and then we'll assign a dollar amount to you for 7.5 years to say thank you for your service. And you're like, okay, knee check, ankle check, shoulder check, finger check. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make some money. Woo! Like, thank you so much for breaking your body.
When I went to that meeting, he like literally pulled out a notebook and was like, let's begin. Point number one came in our ankles. I was like, he's like, and then we were awarded 5 points for our knees. I was like, damn, that's a lot. He's like, bro, they're pretty broken.
I mean, like, just envisioning, like, you sign it and all of a sudden, like, the chimes hit. Yes.
Dude comes in, you're like, yeah, payday, baby.
If you have any type of neck or spine,
life.
Sign them up.
You get paid for life.
Just pay them for life, dude. Yeah. Just give it to them.
Here's a guy who's got a real neck problem.
Fractures, C1, C2, came back, kept playing, moved into the lower spine, pay him all the money. Just give it to him, make him go away. Man.
I love how these guys are like, come back in 5 years, it's going to be way worse. Like, you're going to get re-upped a ton.
Come back
for
your rechecks.
Yeah. So, all right, there's some dumb football questions for you guys. Keep sending us in the YouTube comment section. Click that like button and the subscribe button on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. And we'll catch you guys probably for an emergency episode of like Nick Sirianni getting fired at some
point. Can't wait.
This week.
Harbaugh going to the Chargers. Belichick going to the Falcons.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.